as a presence.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Happy 4th of July to you, Brevard County. First of all, let me say this. Please stay safe today. If you are out there, if you are going to be shooting off fireworks and everything, I encourage you to do it in a safe manner. If you're going to fireworks, Paul's calling me a killjoy back there in the background. I'm not telling you not to have some fun, but I am encouraging you to do it in a safe manner. And, you know, just about every year you hear about people who, end up, looking more like me after the 4th of July than they did before 4th of July. And that's cause I happen to be missing a finger. Mine wasn't a fireworks related issue, but it was another, issue. But please stay safe out there. And if you're going out on the water, be extra careful and on the lookout for others who may be in the area who might be drinking things that, you don't know about, and alcohol and excessive heat and dehydration that can make situations, compounded quite a bit as well. And so you be on the lookout for those who may be operating, their boats and watercraft, without the sobriety that you have in your life. So I just ask that you stay safe out there. Have a great 4th of July and enjoy the time that you have. Thank God that we live in America where we still have the freedom to gather and worship. Amen. We still have the freedom of speech and the freedom to assemble. We thank God for all of the freedoms that He has provided for us here. It is a great privilege and an honor to live in the United States. So let's get to Galatians chapter 5 today. While you're turning there, I will tell you that we do have our adult Bible study in the month of July. However, we do not have kids ministry this month. And so at 7 o'clock will be our worship services. And right now we're going to be talking about evangelism, being an ambassador for Christ Jesus, that wherever we go, our light shines, our word shines, and that we are used for His glory and His purposes. Let's see the kingdom of God grow in Brevard County. Amen? And so we're not going to continue to wait for people to come to us. We're going to go to them and take the good news of Jesus Christ with us. I can tell you this, you know, my understanding of black holes is that they are stars that were at one time emitting light and life throughout a galaxy, or solar system. And rather than continuing to emit out, that they collapsed in on themselves and became internally focused and started sucking things in, and they became what are known as black holes, where not even light can exist or can escape from their grip. And so I want to encourage all of our churches, let's not become so internally focused that we lose the ability to impact our culture and our society around us. Because that's a death knell. That is a death sentence. Any organism that becomes internally focused or completely absorbed with itself is on its way to death. And we don't want that to be the testimony of God's church. So let's get to Galatians chapter 5, shall we? So if you want to come out and be a part of what we're sharing on Wednesday night, starts at 7 o'clock. We meet in our sanctuary, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida. One last announcement, and that is on Friday of this week, we're going to be having a prayer broadcast. And we're looking forward to what God is going to do during that time. So let's go back to Galatians chapter 5, shall we? We're going to read through the first 15 verses. It says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by the law, or by law, you have fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but faith working through love. You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from heaven, from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will have no other mind. But he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another." So, we talked yesterday about freedom, and we're very thankful for that. Today we're going to look at some things that we sacrifice. They are lost to us if we become entangled again in the yoke of bondage. First of all, in verse number 2, it says, "Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing." Jesus has this mindset towards you and I that everything he does is expedient for us. It is to our benefit. He operates in a manner that is going to be beneficial to us. He says, if I do not return to the Father, then the Holy Spirit will not come to you. It is expedient for you that I return to the Father because you need the Holy Spirit. And so I'm unapologetic about the Spirit of God being available to me and operating in my life because Jesus made that possible. He is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. He is the one who sent God the Holy Spirit to be our comforter. We talked about that in the last chapter last week. God is in the comforting business. He is in the guiding business. He guides us into all truth. If you want to live in deception, then you don't want the Holy Spirit in your life because he's going to guide you into truth. And I want to thank God that it is a guide. He's not a guide that abandons us through the journey and say, well, I hope you all find your way out. While I was away, my sister and her family said, we want to do the cave. And I had an expectation of a little bitty cave that, you know, we'd walk in, we'd say, well, yep, that's a cave. But instead, it was this huge, huge cavern that is underneath the ground surface. It was all getting down there by stairs and crawling through holes and things like that. It was like 500 feet down. And, you know, I don't remember exactly how long it was. It was down, then it was up, then it was down again. And then you finally got out, and it was a guided tour. There were things that you weren't supposed to do and things like that. And the guide's giving you all the information. He's telling you all of the history of that. And I'm so thankful that we didn't get started on that journey and say, well, you know, folks, I'm going to have to leave you now so that I can go back up and take care of some other business. No, the guide's job was not done until he got us to our destination at the other end of the journey. The Holy Spirit wants to guide you into all truth. And so there is that tremendous blessing. Everything that God does for you is profitable. Now, I will tell you this, that there have been things that have happened in my life that I did not understand the value of at the time because they were paradoxical. I said, God, you've called me into ministry, and now this act here, it is moving me away from ministry. But I didn't realize that in doing, in positioning me where he was, that was the place that I needed to be for him to get me to Florida so that I could become the pastor of Merit Assembly of God. God operates very much like a chess master in our lives, where he moves us in a position. And he said, wait a minute, I could have gone over here and it would have been so much better, but God is not positioning us for a short-sighted victory. He is moving us and directing us and guiding us for long-term spiritual victory, where the enemy will be checkmated in our life. And so please, 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 if there is something that is going on in your life, please don't blame God and say, God, this is horrible. You're just doing a miserable job of leading my life. You know, if you'll step out of the way, I will show you how this is to be done. That's the bondage of the flesh. That is the arrogance of man. And you need to realize that Christ operating in you and me, that is what is profitable for us. And it goes on to say in verse 3 that if we become entangled again to the ways of bondage, that we are a debtor to keep the whole law. And it is very clear. Joshua made it very clear in Joshua chapter 24 in the Old Testament that the people of God could not keep the law. It took Jesus to come and fulfill all the law and the prophets. What we could not do, Jesus was able to do. And so let's not be of the mindset that said, well, I can do it. I am better. I can tell you that there are a lot of people in this world who said, well, if I do what everybody else has done, I'm going to get different results than all of them have. That just doesn't work that way. Just doesn't work that way. So I challenge you today. You don't want to be living under the burden. I believe that the rabbis had something like 613 commands of God that they operated under. It was over 600. If it's not 613, it's over 600. Some of them were positive, some of them were negative. And I'll tell you, I don't have the mental capacity to remember all of those things. I would much rather live by the Spirit, where God is writing the law of God on my heart, than it is trying to remember all of the rules and regulations and all of that, where I have a heart to walk with God, not trying to keep the car in between the rails, if you will. When I was a kid, there was an amusement park where I grew up, and they had these gas motorized vehicles. They went really, really slow, and they had metal rails on the side, and then they had a guardrail in the center. Now, they didn't just ride that rail. The person driving the vehicle moved it back and forth. The rail was just there to keep them from going too far. And it was designed so that little kids could operate those vehicles. And so they steered, and I don't remember exactly how the powering of it went. I don't remember an accelerator. I think they just kind of accelerated on their own. Don't really remember that far back. The thing I want to tell you is that I know that when I tried to keep it in between the rails, I was like a bumper car. I was bouncing off the right and bouncing off the left, and it was just a real bumpy ride. It wasn't bumper cars. It was supposed to be a smooth ride. But when you understand that if you will keep your vehicle going the way that it's supposed to, if you will listen to those people who are telling you what to do, it will cause you not to be violating the principles of the road where you would be crashing and burning all of the time. God wants to give us a heart for the things of God because we want to do what pleases him, not because we have to. He says, you have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace. You have fallen from grace, and I don't want to be falling from grace. I need the grace of God. Now, grace of God is great. It is God's riches at Christ's expense. It is God giving me what I do not deserve. But it is also his empowerment in my life to live the life that he wants me to live. That is the grace of God. And so if somebody is out there teaching a hyper grace that is saying, well, because of the grace of God, I can go ahead and sin all I want to, and God's grace is going to continue to forgive me. You need to understand the grace of God better, because it is an empowerment to live a holy and pleasing life in the sight of God. And the Old Testament has an interesting passage. It says, those who cling to worthless idols, I believe this is the New International Version way of saying it, those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. They forfeit it. When I was growing up, we had pinball machines, and if you tried to manipulate that ball a little too forcefully, the machine would say tilt, and all of a sudden you would be done. That was all there was. The buttons wouldn't work anymore. Didn't matter who you were, didn't matter the score, didn't matter if you were a novice or a pinball wizard, your game was done. You had forfeited because you had abused the machine. A lot of people say, well, there's no way that I have any idols in my life, but I will tell you that an idol is not just a little graven image. It's not just a little carved thing that people bow down and worship to it. An idol is anything that we put at a higher importance level in our life, a higher level of prominence than what we do God. And the New Testament says that greed is idolatry. And so if we have the mindset that our money is more important to us than God, then we have embraced idolatry in our life, and we have fallen from grace. We are forfeiting our grace, and God is not pleased in that. And so we need to come back to him to that. So we don't want those negative things in our life. Verse number 5 says this, for we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. So the last part of the program today, we're in Galatians chapter 5, verse number 5 now, if you're just now tuning in. For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. That means that the Spirit of God is operating in us in such a way that there should be this verse manifesting in our life. It says, for through the Spirit, and as I was studying for this, when the Spirit moves, there's motion, there's activity, there's a current that is flowing. And so when we are operating through the Spirit, it is moving us towards this goal. It is moving us towards this end and this desire that we are waiting for the hope of righteousness by faith. Okay? So the Spirit begins to move inside of us so that we eagerly wait. How many brides have there been? How many grooms have there been who have been eagerly waiting for their wedding day? Now, I will tell you, society has changed an awful lot. There are people who are waiting for the ceremony, but they're not waiting for the marriage. They're availing themselves of things that they should not be availing themselves of until after the marriage. Okay? I heard this not too long ago, and it blessed me. And it was this it was said by a young lady to her mother, and it was this: boyfriends don't get husband privileges. Boyfriends don't get husband privileges. And I was like, Man, I like that. That is awesome. That is a glorious, glorious mindset to have. And I want to tell you that you and I, it is okay to be eagerly expecting and waiting for something, but let's not be so eager that we try and force the timing into something that fits our schedule rather than God's. Galatians chapter 4, verse number 4 says this, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law." You've got to understand that God only does things in his perfect timing, when the fullness of time has come. So get excited and say, you know what? When God brings this into my life, it is going to be amazing. We are going to eagerly wait. And so that word wait means to expect fully. To expect fully. I forget where I was. I was someplace and they said, well, you are welcome to wait, but we can't guarantee that you're going to be able to get in. And at that point in time, I'm done. I'm not going to eagerly wait when you're telling me that I might not get what I'm waiting for. And so they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. It is our eagerly waiting through the Spirit is going to produce a strength in us. It is going to produce a resolve in us that we are not going to give up. And here is what we are eagerly waiting for. We are waiting for the hope of righteousness. The Spirit of God creates in you and I. He is supposed to be operating in such a way. I hope that you will bookmark this broadcast if you have to, on download it onto your computer, because God wants you and I eagerly waiting for the hope of righteousness. And that hope is a jubilant, confident expectation. So it's not just wishful thinking. It's not something that is a drudgery to us. I don't know how good of a waiter you are. I don't know how you wait. There are some people who sit at traffic lights and they become so agitated and they look at the traffic light and says, "What's wrong with you that you aren't letting me go?" And there are other people who say, "You know, I realize that I'm waiting here. And it's taking a little longer than I might expect, but this waiting may actually save me from disaster." It's okay. I've seen that happen. I remember one time I took a wrong turn. It threw me about 15 or 20 minutes off course. And when I got to a little further down in my journey, the route that I'd gone, there was a Y in the road that I could go both ways and get home. And God said, "I want you to go this way." And when I went that way, which is the way that I always went, there had been a horrible, horrible accident. And as I navigated my way around that, I realized at that point in time that I didn't need to be impatiently waiting. I did not need to be waiting angrily. I needed to be thankful that God was in control of the timing. As you're waiting, don't become agitated, be jubilant. Because here's the thing, it could be that God is perfecting what you are waiting for. And what are we waiting for? We are waiting for the hope of righteousness by faith, that right standing with God, that integrity in our body, our soul, and our spirit, our righteousness that causes us to be in right relationship with God in every manner of our life. And he says that comes through faith. "For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith." So there we are. We are cooperating with the Spirit. We are moving with the Spirit. We are eagerly waiting with a jubilant, confident expectation that righteousness is going to manifest in our life and in our circumstances and in our church. And we are doing that through or by faith. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avail anything, but faith working through love. So in verse number 13, we talked about this on yesterday's broadcast, but through love, serve one another. And now in verse number 6, we see, but faith working through love, that is what avails something. And so let me ask you, I know it's a holiday and you may be listening today. You might not listen to this broadcast, but if someone that you know normally listens to this broadcast, but they didn't get it today, I hope that you will refer them back to the website, back to WMIEFM.com, and tell them to listen on demand for July the 4th, 2017, and say, you need to get this broadcast. You need to listen to it. You need to allow it to get down into your spirit, because the Spirit of God wants us to be valuable. He wants us to be fruitful in our community. And the only way that we avail anything, the only thing that avails anything in our life, is when the faith that we have prompts us to work through love. And through that love, we serve one another. I know this: God redeemed you for a purpose. The Holy Spirit is working to form Christ Jesus in you. He's looking for that righteousness to become manifest in your life, because there are captives that need to be set free. I know that He wants you to be profitable for the kingdom. I know that He wants to use you. And so let's take that gift of faith that He has given to us, and let's work to see captives set free. Let's operate with this love that God has. Listen, it's not something you can manipulate. It's not something that anybody else can give to you. It has to come from God, where we have the mind of God and the heart of God, and we are moved with compassion to serve one another and to serve hurting people. That's what will avail a great number of things. There's a horse race. Hallelujah. Let's be off and running as we serve one another in love. Father, I want to thank you for this great day. Thank you for freedom. And Lord, I pray that each one of us today, that we would, through the Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. And Lord, that we will, by faith, work through love, and through love, serve one another, so that all can be set free and know this glorious grace. In Jesus' name. See you tomorrow, right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.